The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program has been pre-recorded.
He spent almost 40 years in and around the restaurant industry. He's been an owner and an operator. He's a member of the Colorado Restaurant Hall of Fame. The last quarter of a century, his radio shows have been keeping you updated on the ever-changing Colorado restaurant scene, where he invites you to join him, both on the air and for meals at area restaurants. He's Mike Boyle, and this is The Restaurant Show.
Welcome to the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. It's called The Restaurant Show, but you know we talk about movies and travel and books and whatever we feel like talking about. And this hour, we have got an absolutely fabulous interview for you. Thanks to Becky in Parker, Colorado, who sent me an email. She knows that I'm a voracious reader. She knows that I'm a world traveler. She said, Mike, I think you would like this book. And I looked it up. I found it on Amazon. I ordered it. I got it. And it was every bit as fascinating as Becky indicated to me that it would be. His name is Paul Rosalie, and he is not Indiana Jones, but I'll tell you what, he could be. When most kids get out of high school at 18 years old and decide what they're going to do for the next phase of their life, what do? They apply to colleges, or they say, maybe I'll join the military. Maybe I'll take a gap year and backpack through Mexico, Central America, maybe a little bit of Europe, whatever it happens to be. Well, this guy decided to go to, I'm going to call it really the darkest part of the planet. Beautiful colors, beautiful things to see, but it is known as a dark, dark place. It's the Amazon in his book, Mother of God, An Extraordinary Journey into the Uncharted Tributaries of the Western Amazon. And I just have to tell you something. I've had a lot of authors on the air with me over the 30 years I've been on the air. But you know what? I never interview anybody without reading their book. And I was not 100 pages into this book when I said, I have got to reach out to this guy. I have got to try to get this guy on. Because having been to the Amazon myself, taking my daughter to the Amazon, this guy captured the soul and features of that part of the world. I've got him on the line. Paul, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate I cannot tell you how stoked I am.
Thanks for having me on, man. I'm stoked to be here.
All right. So anyway, you're getting out of high school and you go to your mom and dad and yeah. they say, son, What are your plans? I know you've applied at a couple colleges in New Jersey. You're from the New Jersey, New York area. Have you thought about maybe taking a gap year? Have you thought about working for a year? Have you thought about the military? And you say to them what?
Well, I was gone way before that point. I didn't make it through high school because I can't handle authority and I can't handle sitting still. And I like to be out in the woods and the streams tracking animals and, you know, just learning from the forest. And that's where I'm happy. And so by the time I was 16 or so, the conversation was more like, what are we going to do to keep you out of jail and to make sure you don't fail all your classes? And my wonderful mother, who's always understood, both of my parents are fantastic. But my mom went and said, you know, I gotta do something that'll get this kid out of the situation he's in. I was so depressed and so miserable. And she said, why don't you get your GED? And I said, well, what's a GED? And she said, you can finish high school, get out, And she said, you have to go to college. But so by age 17, I skipped the last 2 years of high school, and I went straight into taking college courses. So I got out. I escaped.
Well, listen, I always think
tell other kids to do it.
We've got to take a quick break, but I think that pretty much sets the tone for the show. He's his own man, and we're going to talk farther with him. His book, Mother of God, when we come back on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show.
The warm weather is finally here. Thank goodness. You've just finished cutting the grass, washing the car, sanding and painting the deck, breaking out the grill. Maybe you've been chasing the kids around the park or trying to maintain your athletic body by walking, biking, running, or hiking. Well, you need to rehydrate. You're thinking, wouldn't an ice-cold Pepsi go good right now? You bet it would. But maybe fire down an ice-cold bottle of Propel, Life Water, or Aquafina first, or maybe a Gatorade instead. Cool off, and then think about relaxing on the back deck or in the backyard with a Pepsi, either regular or diet, or maybe even a Pepsi Zero Sugar. Then there's Mountain Dew, Sierra Mist Lemon Lime, or Mug Root Beer that are sure to please. Iced tea? Pepsi also bottles and distributes Lipton tea. But whichever way you go, Pepsi and all of their other products are sure to refresh and are made for our active Colorado lifestyle. And if you need some snacks, don't forget that Pepsi also distributes Lay's, Ruffles, and Tostitos chips and other snacks, including Mike's new favorite, the Cheddar Jalapeno Cheetos. So remember to look for Pepsi products wherever they are sold and stock up for the warm weather. What is going to be a beautiful summer?
Hey everybody, it's Mike for the Black Hat Cattle Company up in Kittredge. You know, Highway 74, just a little bit west of Morrison, doing a great job. Dinner Only House, Dave Rodriguez, a good old boy from Red Lodge, Montana, over 35 years in the steakhouse business. Well, what they did was they shut down for the Great American Shutdown. But what they did, they came up with a great package. Listen to this. You can get a box of their steaks, Gold Canyon Premium Angus Beef, 2 ribeyes, 2 New Yorks, 2 top sirloins, 2 fillets, and 2 pounds of ground beef patty, all to go for $125. You can stop by, pick it up. You give them a call to reserve them, 303-670-0941. That's 303-670-0941. It's $125. Stop by, you pick them up, you take them home, you fire up the Barbie, you open up a bottle of wine, and you are having Black Hat Cattle Company steaks right in the comfort of your home.
You know, it's tough enough to start one restaurant that concentrates on one concept. You can imagine how hard it must be to start restaurants with two completely different concepts. If a place does breakfast and lunch well, then you may not think of it as a dinner place. If you're looking for a nice place to have dinner, you probably won't think of a restaurant that offers breakfast. So what is Randy Price, owner of the locally owned and operated Rocky Mountain Restaurant Group, done in the metro area? He's put together two completely different concepts, kept them separate, and both have been very well received. The first, Urban Egg, a daytime eatery featuring delicious breakfasts and casual lunches with locations up and down the Front Range. And then he has the super successful Salsa Brava Mexican restaurants, serving wonderful and unique Mexican dishes for lunch and dinner. What do they have in common? All restaurants in the group strive for and attain a uniqueness, not only in dishes, but by using fresh Colorado-sourced ingredients wherever possible in all their dishes. So whether you're looking for a great breakfast, burgers, or salads for lunch, or a nice place to get your Mexican fix, think about the Urban Egg and Salsa Brava. All unique, all good, all local.
So you're 17 years old, Paul, and his last name is R-O-S-O-L-I-E. The book is called Mother of God, An Extraordinary Journey into the Uncharted Tributaries of the Western Amazon. I got to tell you something. This guy talks about when he's a kid, how he likes to play with snakes and how he likes to play with creepy crawlers. You know what? All I could think about, Paul, was that scene in Indiana Jones where he's running into snakes and he's got tarantulas crawling all over his back. And I'm saying to myself, you know what? I'm one of those guys that if you see a spider in the house that is the size of a pinhead, I just smash it with a sledgehammer because I know I'm not being the good little conservationist.
I'll be hanging up on you now.
But I mean, I couldn't imagine that stuff. And I remember when my daughter and I said, why don't we go into the Amazon? We both looked at each other and said, we can do this. So anyway, all right, I'm on your bad side now. But let's so you're 17 years old. You skip a couple of years of high school. You're obviously antisocial because you don't want to go to all the football games and parties and so forth. You get your GED. You do apply to college, but why? You know what? All 50 states for me. 75 countries. All seven continents. And I'm talking about flying to Johannesburg and buying a Jeep and driving up through Black Africa by myself and sleeping in the Jeep and underneath the Jeep and so forth and working with villagers and so forth. So I've got a little bit of a wild side. But but when I read about your wild side, you're off the chart. Why the Amazon? How did you come up with that?
Well, for me, it wasn't just about traveling. It's when you grow up in the forest and connected to the wildlife here, you know, they said, don't drink the stream water. It's dirty. I said, okay, well, I thought, I could be wrong, but I thought that streams were supposed to be clean. Isn't that what people used to drink from? They said, yeah, but now they're dirty. Growing up, my mother would tell me, don't eat the snow. It's got, you know, it's like acid rain snow. It's polluted. I said, well, what, you know, and then you read that species are going extinct, and they made the mistake of taking me to the Bronx Zoo, where they tell you that the rainforests are all disappearing. So by the time I got to that age, I said, you know what? I said, the Amazon sounds so crazy. If it really is disappearing, I want to see it before it's gone. And there's more life there than anywhere else on Earth. And so, you know, if you said you can go to space, you can go to Middle Earth and meet Gandalf and the elves, doesn't matter. To me, the Amazon was the coolest thing, the most amazing thing I could imagine seeing. And so I found, and I didn't want to go as a tourist. I found a research position where I'd be doing, you know, taking data on birds all day long in the most remote place. I mean, it was so remote that it took days to get there, so remote that my parents said, hey, look, we know you're crazy, but we're not letting you go to another country and travel for 2 days into the jungle to meet some guy on the side of a river. They were like, hell no. And then I had to just had to have that sort of upper teenage conversation of, well, friends, I got my plane ticket and my passport, and I'll call you when I'm back.
You know what? In your book brought out so many things. You talk about the rivers. I remember when my daughter and I were in Angola, Africa. And somebody said to our guide, and we were on kind of a little jungle excursion, well, could you drink the water from this river? And he said, absolutely, I could drink water from this river. I drink it, I bathe it, we cook with it. And they said, well, what would happen if we drank it? He said, you'd be sick for a week. But then you would develop your immunities and you would get used to it. So that was something that really resonated with me, Paul, in your book, Mother of God. I'm telling you what, I traveled. I don't have to apologize for my travels, but I will tell you this. When a book can take you out of your world and into another, when you can travel vicariously, we are talking to a lot of listeners on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. And I don't know that any of them now or at the end of this interview will say, I think I'm going to jump on a plane and wander through the Amazon. But if I can get them to read this book, they will know what an amazing, amazing journey you had. Let's talk a little bit about, and I'm going to bounce around. I don't have one of those linear trains of thoughts, Paul. Sounds like
that's fine. I'm a Tarantino fan.
Okay.
Non-linear storyline.
Yeah. It sounds like you might be also. I would like you to tell the listeners how the Amazon, how do you get there? My daughter and I went in through Ecuador on the Rio Napo. You chose to go down to Peru and go in through a river known as the Mother of God.
Yes, and that's why the book is called Mother of God, which was a dangerous title because a few people were like, well, I'm not reading a book about God. You know, I wanted to find the most remote part of the Amazon that I could go to. So, you know, you have Manaus and the Amazon proper, but up in the West Amazon in Peru and Ecuador, you have all those little tributaries, and the West Amazon is the most important part of the Amazon because that's the engine. That's where all the precipitation is falling into the basin that's going to flow across the continent. And because you have the Andes,
and when it flows across, and I'm sorry to interrupt, Paul, and when it flows across the continent of South America, when it gets to the Atlantic, you know, we think of a river as something you raft. We think of a river as something that you drive across on a bridge. But How wide is the Amazon when it gushes into the Atlantic Ocean on the east coast of South Africa, South America?
It's something like 13 miles across. You can't see from one side to the other. It pushes something like 40 kilometers out into the ocean, the fresh water.
Uh-huh.
And all of the nutrients from the Amazon, you know, people say the Amazon is the lungs of the planet. And then, you know, last year it came out, they said, oh, the Amazon isn't actually the lungs of the planet. Well, it is. It's just that the way that oxygen is produced is that all of that biomatter from the leaves and the sticks and the animal bodies, as that flows through the rivers, when it flows out into the Atlantic, it's really the phytoplankton in the ocean that is eating that biomaterial and then releasing the oxygen into the atmosphere that's coming from the Amazon. So it's a complex system.
Paul, hold that thought. We got a piece of bills here. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Paul Rousselet. It is Mother of God, his book, and we'll be right back on The Restaurant Show.
News Talk 710, KNUS.
Hey, everybody. Mike Boyle, host of The Restaurant Shows. You know, over the Great American Shutdown, I learned a lot about a lot of different restaurateurs here in the Denver metro area. One of the best around is Steve Shaw. Steve and his partners own and operate the 9 Black Eyed Peas all up and down the Front Range. They said, if we're going to be shut down, we're going to do takeout, but we're going to do it very, very well. They came up with grab-and-go packages. They came up with family meals. They also started their own delivery service. But you know what? Now they're open, and you can stop by. Go on in, sit down, relax, have a beer. Have a glass of wine. Enjoy that wonderful chicken fried chicken. It is absolutely sensational. Maybe you want the nice, slow roasted, juicy pot roast. They've got a full service menu. Every meal comes with 2 sides. Yep, you get to choose from a whole bunch of different sides. They're open 7 days a week now for lunch and dinner. The Black Eyed Peas, 9 locations all up and down the Front Range. Stop by. I think you're going to love them. And tell them you've heard about it from Mike Boyle on The Restaurant Show.
If you like Chinese food, good Chinese food, find yourself in the Castle Rock area, and you'd like to support a proud U.S. Army veteran, then head on over to the China Cafe, 734 Perry Street in the Safeway Shopping Center, just off I-25 at the Plum Creek exit. Leanne Jin and her husband recently bought the business. It had been her dream while spending almost 10 years in the Army. He's the talented cook in the kitchen, and she's the smiling face you see when you enter. China Cafe serves lunch and dinner 6 days a week. They're closed Mondays and features a lot of the basic Chinese items we've grown to love. Start with some soup, hot and sour, egg drop, wonton, maybe have an egg roll appetizer. Then stuff your face with wonderful Mongolian beef, sesame chicken, or Mike's favorite, the lemon chicken. Each plate comes with your choice of fried or steamed rice. China Cafe has a liquor license, plenty of free parking for now. However, they've decided to continue with takeout and delivery only. So call them to order. And for details on when they'll reopen their dining room, their number is 303-688-8013. 303-688-8013. Be sure to say hello to Leanne. You'll love her, and you'll be supporting a proud Army veteran and a small family business. China Cafe in Castle Rock. You've heard of New York-style pizza. You've heard of Chicago-style pizza. But have you ever heard of Midwest-style pizza? Well, that's what they're serving at Granelli's Pizza on Wilcox Street in downtown Castle Rock. You know how the toppings are put on under the cheese in Chicago? Well, that's what new owner Angie Trino is doing at Granelli's. But here's the big but. She says that that's how they make pizzas in Minnesota, where she's from, and Wisconsin and Iowa. So she calls it Midwest-style pizza. Whatever you call it, it's good. Granelli's has been around for over 20 years and also serves some wonderful appetizers, salads, sandwiches, and pastas. And even though Granelli's did well with takeout, now the dining room is open. So dine in or take out. Granelli's also offers a nice selection of local craft beers. Granelli's is easy to get to off I-25 at exit 182 or the Plum Creek exit number 181. And if you'd rather bake the pizza yourself, have it when you want it. Granelli's also does a wonderful take and bake pizza. Open 6 days a week, closed Sunday. You can either stop by and order or give them a call at 303-814-1853. That's 303-814-1853. Ask for Angie. She'd love to meet you.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com.
And I'll hang around as long as you will let me. And I never minded standing in the rain. But you don't.
All right, we're back with Paul Rousselet, R-O-S-O-L-I-E, and I got to tell you something. I was like a kid at Christmas when I went to his website and I said on the contact page, hey, I do restaurant shows in Denver if you'd look at my website, but I interview authors. I dropped a few names. I said, I'd consider it a privilege to have you on the air. And like I said, I was a little, like a kid at Christmas when I got an email back from him saying, I would love to do an interview. Well, he didn't exactly say that, but he said, I'll make myself available, and that's good enough. So you know what? We've talked a little bit about how the Amazon is fresh water, and it pushes out into the salt water of the Atlantic. And you know what? My audience, we don't need to get too technical here, but it makes for some interesting species that can survive in salt water, can survive in fresh water. They swim into the Amazon. Talk a little bit about that, Paul, because you're obviously very up to speed on all of this type of stuff.
Well, the Amazon has more plant and animal life than anywhere else, and not just than anywhere else, than any other time in the fossil record. So it's literally the most life in the known universe ever. And, I mean, you have howler monkeys, spider monkeys, there's 13 species of monkeys just on my river. You have giant black caiman, which are crocodiles that can be 18 feet long. In the Amazon proper, you have bull sharks coming in. They're one of those species, like you said, that are very tolerant of fresh and salt water. We've even had whales come into the Amazon. It's just such a massive system.
I have to tell you something, Paul. I'm sorry to interrupt. But, I mean, when my daughter and I were down there, we saw stuff that literally, you know, we're not quite the adventurers you are. But, I mean, there's stuff in the Amazon that will scare the hell out of you. It is amazing the size of some of that stuff. And it is just unbelievable. We're going to talk about, we did not see an anaconda on the Rio Napo going into the Western Amazon. There's people don't understand. I think they think, a lot of people think that anacondas are just wandering all over the place. They're not. You got to go look for them. But one of those stories you told where you and about seven people, if I recall, on one of your little expeditions were trying to capture an anaconda, and you're literally riding on this thing's back, trying to stop it from heading for the river so that you can examine it a little bit so you can check it out. And it was so big and so long and so strong, it carried you guys right down to the riverbank. You decided to let go. Well, you know what? There's not an awful lot of people listening to this show that think that that sounds like a great time.
Well, there's a lot of people that don't believe the story. It's just me and the other people that got to do it because, you know, it happened so quick. And unless you have somebody there filming it, it really doesn't come through. But, these snakes are so massive. And, you know, anacondas give live birth. They're not in eggs. And they start off, you know, just a little thicker than your finger and maybe about a foot to 2 feet long. And then they grow to be up as long as a school bus. So they're affecting every level of the ecosystem. So along with being this big, beautiful snake, they're very important for maintaining equilibrium in the Amazon ecosystem. And that's what makes them so fascinating to me.
Tell the listeners a little bit about the diameter of what an anaconda can grow to.
Well, I have a 6-foot wingspan. From fingertip to fingertip is 6 feet. And I couldn't wrap my arms around this anaconda. My apologies for the helicopters flying overhead right now.
That's okay. No worries. We can't hear. Okay. We got it. You're doing just fine. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, folks, when you think of the size of that, I'm looking at Kelly Michaels producing the show, and he's got a look on his face like, yikes, if I see a little garden snake that's 12 inches long in my garden, I'm freaking out. So it was just amazing. And I remember the ants. I remember when we were out in the jungle and our guide said, see those ants there? Do not let them touch you, bite you, get on you in any way. And I talked to a couple guys that I knew that were naval attaches down there in Ecuador and Peru, places like that. And they say that if you get bit by one of these ants, and they're probably about an inch long, and we don't think of ants as being about an inch long, immediate paralysis. Now it's temporary. It's not for the rest of your life. But when you think about ants, you just don't think about something like that, Paul.
Yeah. I was going to say for the anaconda thing, I was saying, as you guys are thinking about this, just if you take your arms and put them out in front of you and touch your fingertips and make like a circle out of your arms, the anacondas that we've seen are bigger than that. That's the measurement that I can give everybody. But for the ants, as far as being gigantic, we have the South American bullet ant, which is widely regarded as the most painful insect sting that you can get. They not only bite you, but they sting you. They have a stinger like a wasp. And that was one of my initiations with the indigenous tribes, was they said, you know, here's this, you know, guy from Brooklyn who thinks he's tough. They said, this is going to be fun. They said, here, how about we play bullet ant roulette? And so you put a bullet ant on your arm, mm-hmm. and then me and the next guy, you rub arms together, and whoever it stings. Well, it got me. And, man, they're not lying. Paralysis, fever, chills, nausea. It's not pretty. I spent about 24 hours kind of out of commission. The funny thing, though, is like everything else, man, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That was back in the day. That's when I was just, you know, 18 years old. At this point, when I get stung by a bullet ant, I kind of just brush it off and keep going. I'm used to them by now.
Wow. You know what? And by the way, we probably, you know what? I remember being gassed in training in the United States Army. And I've heard stories about police officers that are tased so that they can feel it. But that's more temporary. To get yourself involved with one of those bullet ants intentionally, you know, Paul, I got to tell you something. I'm worrying a little bit about some of your thought processes here.
Yeah, you should.
All right. So one of the things that I thought was the most fascinating when we were in the Amazon, we were taken to see one morning a colpa. Am I pronouncing that right?
Mm-hmm.
C-O-L-P-A.
Yeah, so important. Colpa.
And explain, we took everything is on the river. So we wake up and we go down the river to a trail. We take this trail in, and we're not talking about trailheads like we see in Colorado with hand sanitizers and doggy bags and all of that type of stuff. You can hardly even tell it's a trail. And we walk and walk and walk and finally get to a place, and there's a little blind where we can sit and watch, and they tell you, there were only about four of us. They said, don't make a sound, because in about 20 minutes or so, it's almost like setting your watch. Wait till you see what you're going to see. Tell the listeners what a colpa is.
So herbivores all over the world, herbivores have trouble getting their salt from plants. And actually, when I was hiking in Colorado in the Wiminuche Wilderness area, I remember any time you peed on the ground, you'd have the mountain goats running up to you to lick the place where you had peed because they wanted your salt.
Mm-hmm.
And in the jungle, it's no different. All the herbivores need that salt. They really do. So colpas are places where there's salt deposits in the mud, and the animals will come and they'll eat the mud so that they get their salt. And it also helps them break down some of the toxic chemicals that they get from the plants that they're eating. And so what you have is these little meccas where you get lots of animals coming to all get the salt. The whole community will come there. And then because it attracts all the herbivores, it also attracts the predators. And so colpas are just these little buzz centers in the jungle that are very beautiful, very special. And it's a great place to see wildlife. It's sort of a sacred little thing in the jungle.
For listeners, it would be like looking at the side of your house. Take a piece of an area about that size. And all above it, all around both sides, underneath is foliage. And maybe a river, but that wall is dirt. And I mean, am I allowed to call it dirt, Paul? Or is there some special name for it or something?
No, sure. I mean, dirt, mud. It's all just a, you know, it's some sort of Amazonian soil that has a higher salt content that it's actually beneficial for these animals to go and eat that soil. Now, I've tried eating it, and I don't taste any salt, but they can detect things. Most animals have senses that are much better than ours. In the jungle, you learn. You know, a jaguar has better hearing than you do. A harpy eagle has better sight than you do. Mm-hmm. Every animal has better smell than we do. So we're actually kind of handicapped.
Well, when you wake up in the morning, and you're saying hello to your dog may lick your hand because he wants that salt. Now, if you were to lick your hand, you wouldn't taste it. But at the colpa, you've tasted the dirt. But all of a sudden, like I said, the Paoli Local, all of a sudden on the time schedule, let's say 10 o'clock in the morning, literally thousands of birds will descend on this colpa and just cling to the cliff or whatever you call it and just start eating this dirt. I mean, and the colors. Saw macaws down in Peru. I don't believe we saw macaws doing this. I believe it was a different type of bird, but very colorful. I'm sorry?
It was probably parrots. That's usually
It was parrots.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, and I don't know how many species of parrots are in the Amazon. I don't know how many species of macaws are in the Amazon. But when you just think about the multiples of colors. It was like watching a rainbow on the side. It was absolutely fascinating. And you know, you say, well, listen, did Paul go down there one time? Did he just go down there and have a great adventure and come back and write a book? No, Paul's a guy, I think you can tell by listening to him, that he's a guy that likes to go somewhere, and if he enjoys it, wants to go back, wants to have an impact. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a break from Paul. His book is called Mother of God, an extraordinary journey into the uncharted tributaries of the Western Amazon. But when we come back, we're going to find out a way that you can work with Paul, follow Paul, and participate. We'll talk about that when we come back on The Restaurant Show.
The
Remember what your mother said. Start your day with a good breakfast. Maybe a big breakfast burrito or a nice pupusa. Well, you can get either or both at Mile High Pupusas at 2504 Old Hamden Road, just west of Santa Fe in Inglewood. Mile High Pupusas is owned and operated by the husband and wife team of Josh and Myrna Benavides. He wanted to specialize in Mexican food, but since Myrna is from El Salvador, she also wanted to feature some of the native foods of her native country. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, serving not only breakfast, but a wide selection of lunch and dinner items as well. It's located in a small freestanding building with plenty of free parking. And even though they have four or five tables inside for dining in, it's really set up for takeout. From the minute they open their doors at 7 a.m., you'll see people piling in and loading up on their many specialties. Most people know what a burrito is, but try the pupusas. It's like a pita pocket, Salvadoran style. Dough with whatever fillings you select. No liquor license, but plenty of Pepsi products to quench your thirst. Mile High Pupusas. Say hello to Josh and Myrna. They're always there.
For over 30 years in Castle Rock, the owners of Pegasus Restaurant, John and Janie DeLay, have enjoyed seeing you because Pegasus is about, sure, good food and good service, but it's more than that. It truly is a neighborhood gathering place, a place where longtime Castle Rock residents knew they could get a good meal, big portions, hearty plates, and when new residents or just people from the area stopped by, they were always greeted with a smile before sitting down and enjoying a fabulous selection of breakfast items or a wide, varied menu for lunch. And while Pegasus did fine during the shutdown, a big part of the enjoyment that John and Janie get from the restaurant business is being able to see you, chat, learn about you, and how you're doing. You can still do takeout if that's your preference, but why not go by, relax inside or on the patio and order a breakfast favorite, the chiladas, or a big fluffy omelet. Here's an idea. With your breakfast, enjoy a mimosa flight. For lunch, nice sandwiches and salads. Maybe try a longtime favorite, the French dip, and the burgers are always special. Pegasus is open 7 days a week during dine-in breakfast and lunch. If you'd prefer to take out, give them a call at 303-688-6746. Pegasus in Castle Rock. You're going to love it.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and if you listen to the show with any regularity, you know that I love to travel. We talk a lot about travel. It's called The Restaurant Show, but it's The Restaurant and Travel Show. I've been taking groups of listeners on trips since 1997, working with Darlene Stacey over at Red Carpet World Travel. Got some great trips coming up in 2020, but I want to tell you about my daughter. I must have passed on that travel bug to her because she founded her own company. It's called Gusto Mexico, G-U-S-T-O, GustoMexico.com. And if you know what Gusto means, it means I like Mexico. And what she's inviting you to do is to come down to Mexico and lose your mind and come to your senses, where you're going to experience the taste, smells, touches, sights, and sound of that beautiful country just south of the border. GustoMexico.com. She's going to be taking groups to Tulum and Sayulita and Oaxaca and Ensenada, so you can really immerse yourself in Mexico. Check it out at GustoMexico.com.
Doesn't an ice-cold Mountain Dew sound good? As we return to the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show.
All right, we're with Paul Rosoli. He is a naturalist, an explorer, but he also runs a company called Tamandua Expeditions. Am I pronouncing that right, Paul?
Yeah, we say Tamandua.
Tamandua. Well, first of all, tell the folks what a Tamandua is.
Tamandua is this adorable kind of anteater that lives in the trees and has a prehensile tail and a very long nose
and claws sharp enough to rip its predator right apart to dig in the ground to get the ants out and so forth and so on. And you had one as a pet. And I just have to tell you something. That was one part of the book that I had no interest in rushing out and getting an anteater as a pet.
Yeah. Yeah, they're intense. What I was taking care of was a giant anteater, so it's related to the Tamandua. And they are about 7 feet from nose to tail. They have these big, powerful Popeye forearms, huge claws, bigger than a grizzly bear. And like you said, they can defend themselves against any predator, even the jaguar. And they're just these incredible animals. And the babies ride on the mother's back for the first 6 months of the life. So they have a very emotional bond with their mothers. And when this one's mother died, I ended up taking care of her. And so I had to act like a mother anteater. I had to keep her on my back. I had to take naps with her on my stomach. And she'd use that tongue, man, to – she'd fire that, you know, a foot-long tongue, and she'd fire that up my nose when she wanted me to wake up. And even just feeding her was hard because if I was mixing her food, she'd want to play. But when you have, you know, sort of the Edward Scissorhands syndrome, you know, if she tries to give you a hug, she cuts you up.
Yeah. Well, and that tongue, don't forget that tongue needs to reach down into a termite home and be able to adhere to those termites and suck them back out. So when she licks, she's probably getting, it's like getting licked by the highest grade sandpaper.
Actually, no, it's very smooth, actually. It's very smooth,
really?
And sticky. So it's not abrasive.
Sticky.
I've had it all up my nose and my nasal cavity. I'm intimately acquainted with this thing, but. It's just smooth and sticky and very, very, very fast.
Well, what your company does is it uses tourism to support rainforest conservation. So you literally, I was not familiar with your company, but you literally have some way to access people and encourage them to come down in small groups into southeastern Peru, meet you. And you know, we know Lima and we know the wonderful restaurants and ceviches overlooking the cliff. And many of us have been to Cusco and run Cusco and been there for the winter solstice and gone up and hiked Machu Picchu and so forth. But this is a little bit different. This is down where the Amazon begins with the Madre de Dia, de Rio, the mother of, no, Madre de Dia, the river of God, mother of God. And I'm talking so fast here. I'm so excited to have you. But you actually take people that want to go with you into the Amazon. Now, what we did, my daughter and I, there's one or two, maybe more, nice lodges, whether it's Ecuador, Peru, or the Brazil side of the Amazon, you know, where you can fly in, boat in, and they wake you up in the morning and they go out for a little viewing. And then by 2 o'clock, you're having pina coladas by the pool, that type of thing. But I think if you're going to do the Amazon, you need to. We went in with an adventure company and we went in on a small houseboat that we obviously stayed on. There were only about four or five of us, plus a small crew. And we had to go about 3 hours by powerboat up into the Amazon to even meet this houseboat. And then the houseboat would move constantly during the day while we were out hiking and so forth. But that's the way you see the Amazon to meet, Paul. Don't you agree? You must agree because you started an expedition company.
Yeah. So I agree. You want to go out with as little noise and footprint as possible. And so I started working with the indigenous guys that want to protect their forest. And so that's really what I've learned is how you achieve conservation. You have to make sure that the local people are taken care of. And so what we do is exactly what you said. We provide people with the opportunity to see this amazing place and to come work with us in the jungle. And so they fly in and we take them out into the jungle. We stay at a very remote research station. We just have a generator and we're right on the side of the river, but it's beautiful and it's comfortable, but there's no pool and there's no martinis. It's the real thing. You're really out there in the wilderness and the people that are coming are actually really helping us protect this environment. And the thing with the Amazon is that it affects all of us. Whether you live in Tokyo or LA or Colorado, the weather patterns of our planet are dictated by the Amazon because it's one of the biggest physical features on our planet and produces a fifth of our fresh water, a fifth of our oxygen. So it's this crucial system. So whether you're into conservation or not, if you'd enjoy being in the jungle or not, you still sort of owe a debt to the Amazon because it takes care of you. And so for the people that are adventurous and want to come see, you know, the flying rainbows of macaws and the giant anacondas and all that stuff and go on something that's not just a normal vacation, we have a way to actually get involved with this stuff.
You know, it was interesting because when my daughter and I and like I said, I considered it to be very much of an Amazon adventure. Certainly nothing as adventurous as yours. But one of the things that we were told early on is that in Ecuador and Peru, Brazil, Bolivia, There are indigenous peoples that live out in the jungle. They don't speak English. They've never seen maybe a white man. They just want to be left alone. And of course, many people are familiar with the Lost City of Z. Percy Fawcett, a British explorer back in the early 20th century, believed that there was a city of gold. He kept going back into the jungle, meeting with indigenous people, took his son, his adult son, and all of a sudden nobody ever heard from him again. They just want to be left alone. And the governments of, like I said, Peru and Bolivia and Brazil and Ecuador, the governments just leave them alone. They don't try to go out there. They don't try to, quote unquote, civilize them. They don't try to go out there and register them to vote or any of that type of stuff. But you decided to actually go out and, if not get in among them, go far enough by yourself upriver that you might start to get into their territory. Can you talk a little bit about that trip? It was absolutely fascinating. I mean, we have all, folks, to most people, being alone is you're upstairs watching television and your significant other is downstairs watching television. I have been alone, but I have never been as alone as Paul has. Talk a little bit about that trip you went on your own. I mean, it came across in the book as so fascinating and yet so frightening. You did a great job of sharing with the readers the challenges you faced.
Yeah, so the reason for that expedition was to try and see the most remote parts of the Amazon that exist. I mean, I heard these stories from the local guys that there are just places that from decade to decade, from century to century, nobody goes. And like you said, you know, we're born usually, you know, probably into a hospital room with doctors and parents and relatives, and you go to school, and we're around people every day. Uh-huh. You know, isolation, like you said, just means being in a different room. So for me, being alone for weeks on end in the wilderness is such a strange thing. We're a very social species. We're not actually supposed to do that. It's not very common to do that. And so I was in parts of the Amazon where I would have to go for, you know, a week or 10 days just to get to the start of the expedition, past the last village, past the last camp, and then start going. And that was, there's still these magical places where it's so wild that the animals don't know what a human is. So it's, you know, when explorers arrived on the Galapagos, they were shocked because the animals had no fear of humans. And it's like this in these parts of the Amazon where the animals look at you and they're like, oh, hey, I don't know what you are. And then they just keep going on with their day because they've never seen a human before. They've never heard a gunshot.
Yeah. If you're not dinner, they're not interested.
Exactly. And so to me, connecting with those really deep, deep places and sort of having that crazy intimate experience with the Amazon was very important for forging my ability as a naturalist, as a person, as a storyteller, and as someone who's trying to protect the Amazon, somebody that can go back and really say, you know, look, this is what we're trying to protect. These are the worlds that we're losing.
You know what? And it was fascinating. You actually got up to a point where you saw some indigenous people across the river. And you kind of didn't know who they were, and they didn't know who you were. But something, some innate sense said to you, Paul, I think that it's time for me to head back downriver rather than trying to make friends, connect with these people, have a powwow, share a barbecue.
the we call them the uncontacted tribes, and they're these tribes of people that for hundreds of years have been isolated in the jungle, and they missed out on the wheel. They've never held anything made out of metal because they don't have that technology yet, but they can live in the jungle without clothing, without infection. So they do have this, so people say, oh, they're like Stone Age humans. It's like, well, no, they're very much modern, and just they have a different knowledge system, and they're very mysterious. And because they became isolated probably at like the turn of the century, around the early 1900s, when the rubber boom was happening, they truly believe, because their grandfathers or their elders would have told them, that the outsiders are there to kill you. Mm-hmm. So these people still carry around 6-foot bow and arrows with 6-foot arrows. And so we've had at least once a year somebody gets shot down there. It's usually a logger. And these tribes, it's no fault of their own. You know, the outside world has been very hostile to them. And so when I ran into them, I realized I'd gone too far. And, you know, these tribes don't have the immunoresistance that we have. They don't have even a common cold can wipe out a whole tribe. So for them, I have to be very careful because I could cause them death. but also for myself, I mean, every year somebody gets shot by an arrow. My boat driver, who works for me now, one of his relatives was beheaded and dissected by them because they were just curious. You know, there's no laws in their world. They were just curious to see what this outside thing was, and so they hunted it, and it happened to be his relative.
Mm. All right, his name is Paul Rosalie, R-O-S-O-L-I-E. His book is called Mother of God, An Extraordinary Journey into the Uncharted Tributaries of the Western Amazon. I'll tell you what, this is an extraordinary journey into Radioville. We'll be right back with Paul on The Restaurant Show.
Vacation become overwhelming? When you call Red Carpet World Travel at 303-743-0011 to plan your next vacation, they'll work with Funjet Vacations to create your personalized vacation package. Red Carpet World Travel and Funjet Vacations have the knowledge and tools necessary to assist you in making the best decisions for your family. Your vacation package with Funjet Vacations will be customized to allow you to purchase a complete vacation experience. Red Carpet World Travel will help you plan an amazing vacation to Mexico, the Caribbean, Hawaii, or Europe, and they'll put it together at one affordable packaged price. Flight, hotel, transfers, activities, and tours, along with cancel for any reason trip insurance. This can be all included in your Funjet Vacation package price. To plan your next fun-filled Funjet Vacation escape to Mexico, the Caribbean, Hawaii, or Europe, call the travel experts at Red Carpet World Travel, 303-743-0011. Red Carpet World Travel, 303-743-0011, or visit their website at redcarpetworldtravel.com.
You know, Sue Albert has operated Fat Albert's in Greeley for a long time, so you know that she was going to be around when the big shutdown was over. Well, she's around, up and running, and serving the same great American cuisine she's served for over 38 years. She's got a menu that includes meat, chicken, and fish entrees, even including the really popular liver and onions. Sue offers sandwiches, salads, and of course, the biggest seller, the Monte Cristo sandwich. And Fat Albert's is known for their pies, pecan, peanut butter, banana cream, and Mike's favorite, the French Silk, a chocolate cream pie with a delicious crust, lots of chocolate and whipped cream piled high. That's just to name a few. Get a slice or take home a whole pie. Fat Albert's has a full liquor license, plenty of free parking, and offers dine-in and takeout. But with the warm weather here, why not sit out on the patio, get a little sunshine, enjoy your meal? Fat Albert's is located at 1717 23rd Avenue in Greeley. For days and hours of operation, give them a call at 970-356-1999 or check out their hours and the entire menu at fatalberts.com. You know, if the place has been around for over 38 years, it's got to be good. Fat Albert's in Greeley. Say hello to Sue and tell her you heard about it on The Restaurant Show.
For 20 years, Ron Tutton and Home Street Roofing have been providing Colorado residents what we all want for our homes, a quality roof. Not only quality new roofs, but roof repairs and the assurance that our homes are as well protected as our families within. Our homes are, most likely, the biggest purchase any of us will ever make, and Colorado weather can take its toll. So do what Mike did when he was in need of a new roof on his home. He called the roofing experts at Home Street Roofing. Owner Ron Tutton made an appointment and showed up when he said he would, gave Mike a fair and reasonable price, and told him what he could expect. He could expect the crew to show up on time, when they were scheduled, and would complete the work both quickly and on time and for the agreed-on price. Also, if your roof is weather damaged, owner Ron Tutton is experienced with and has handled all sorts of insurance claims and is more than happy to help you through the process. Ron and Home Street have such a good reputation that when the building inspector came to inspect Mike's new roof, he remarked that he knows Home Street and the tremendous work they do. So give Home Street a call at 303-777-0333. That's 303-777-0333. And tell Ron you heard about it on the Mike Boyle Show. He'll do the same great job for you that he's been doing for satisfied customers for over 20 years.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com.
Moving on, I cannot believe we are at the last segment of this hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. I'm telling you what, I hope that you have enjoyed this as much as I have. Absolutely fascinating. The book is called Mother of God. It is named for a river in southeastern Peru, a tributary that goes into the Amazon jungle, an extraordinary journey into the uncharted tributaries of the Western Amazon. Paul Rosalie is the author, R-O-S-O-L-I-E. And by the way, the podcast will be up. You'll be able to listen to the show, but hopefully you've been with us for the hour. Paul, when you went up into this area where you talked about seeing indigenous people that, like you said, don't know what electricity is, don't know what a wheel is, never had anything made with steel, still carry bow and arrows, they just want to be left alone, And yes, their grandparents, as they were pushed back into the jungle from some of the development, whether it's towns, highways, people going in looking for logs, people going in looking for rubber, that type of thing, they just want to be left alone. But you had to get there via rivers. That's how people travel primarily through the Amazon. But as you were coming out, when it rained, you know what, the analogy that I would use for people, if you want to see changes in weather, in the movie Forrest Gump, when he was trooper through the jungles of Vietnam, remember it's pouring, it's raining so hard that you can't see your hand in front of your face? And in a heartbeat, bang, it stops and the sun comes out and you are absolutely scorched. I remember being in the Amazon in one of those rains, Paul, and the minute it stopped, you couldn't get your, it was like a Chinese fire drill trying to get your slickers off and all of that type of stuff, because it was that, it went from that wet to that hot. But the rivers will rise by measures of feet. They will expand widthwise by tens of feet, 20s of feet, long distances. You were up there and you realized you had to get away from these indigenous people. You had to get away. You had to get on the river, but when these rivers rise, trees that are 150 feet tall, 30 feet in diameter, may fall into the river. Talk a little bit about your boat ride out.
Yeah, so, I mean, the same river that was very calm on the way up, I'm talking, you know, perfectly placid, serene river with, you know, even surface. Once that rain hit, you have thousands, millions of tributaries all pouring into the river, so it's just this exponential flood. And so, yeah, you have these ancient trees, these 150-foot tall giants rushing down the river. And so I'm in this little inflatable raft. And, I mean, there's been times where you can't even raft because the trees will destroy the boat. So you have to actually get on the trees. And it's like climbing on the Titanic or something. It's like, or it's like watching an ant ride a stick down a river, because we're so small that we don't affect it. So I could, like, walk around freely on these trees as we're floating down the Amazon. And, I mean, I've covered hundreds of miles that way, for sure. It's absolutely crazy. And you see animals that have gotten stuck in the river. You see these just massive trees. When they hit up against the bank, you know, everything, it'll crash and splinter apart. It's very violent, very dangerous.
You said that some of the crashes, some of the trees crashing into each other on the river would be like a lightning storm and thunder crashing almost right next to you.
Oh, right above your head. The clouds are very low in the Amazon. They're just above the canopy. So you have, lightning, thunder, trees crashing, the river flooding, the rapids. You have snakes in the water, you know, swimming next to you. It's just, it turns into this roller coaster ride of death. It's terrifying, but it's also one of the most intense experiences I've ever had, which I don't hate it for. it's quite impressive.
Well, I remember when I got back from Africa the first time I went, and I spent over 6 months out in the bush, and some of the guys from out in the bush came to the United States to visit me, and we would go to restaurants and we'd be having drinks, and they'd say, "This guy went through Africa. Unlike, we just don't know people that have done this." Well, my trip sounds like a beach vacation in Hawaii compared to what you've done down in the Amazon jungle, Paul. It's absolutely amazing. It's Paul, R-O-S-O-L-I-E. The book is called Mother of God. It's about a river in Peru. And if you'd like to look up his company, you can go to paulrosalie.com, or you can look up, it's TAMANDUA Expeditions. And I get the sense that you'd get a heck of a trip out of it. You'd be safe as the Amazon will let you be. But I also think that you would be doing something nice because, Paul, you're very much invested in the ecological aspects of the Amazon and the environment and trying to do whatever you can to preserve it for future generations, not just the rivers, but the foliage, the animals, the birds, and so forth.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've never lost anybody yet. We have study abroad groups. I brought special operations teams down there, film crews from all over the world, and we're protecting 30,000 acres with our locally employed rangers. We're protecting millions and millions of wildlife heartbeats. And I truly believe that protecting these rivers is sort of the defining issue of our time, because none of us can live without, you know, clean water and fresh air. and this is where it comes from.
All right, Paul. Listen, I can't thank you enough. Thanks for spending this hour with me. And I want to encourage people to look you up. I want to encourage people to read the book. And if it's not preservation of the Amazon your bag, all I would say is get involved and do something. Thanks for this hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show.
Drive up by the lake and put my ass in a lawn chair, toes in the clay. Not a worry in a world of PBR on the way. Life is good today.